listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDEP. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We are in the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island during the Mackinac Policy Conference, our annual trip up north to talk about our challenges in Southeast Michigan in a different environment, get people who don't see each other every day a chance to talk with one another, maybe come up with different solutions to those challenges, maybe talk differently than we do when we're at home in Southeast Michigan or Lansing or Washington. Joining us next is Monique Stanton. She is president and CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy, a really wonderful advocacy organization here in the state of Michigan. Monique, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Yeah, and welcome back to Michigan. You're someone who was here for a long time, mm-hmm. was away for a bit, and now you're back running MLPP.
Yeah, I'm back. It's wonderful to be back home in Southeast Michigan and in Detroit.
Yeah, so tell our listeners about the Michigan League for Public Policy. Those of us who are in the press, we know what you are and what you do. I'm not sure that everybody shares that knowledge.
Right. So we've been around serving Michigan for 110 years. We really focus our work on advocating for people who are vulnerable populations, so issues around economic security, racial injustice, health, education. Big part of what we do is also Kids Count, so it's an annual profile about the health and well-being of young people in our state. And then we look at our state budget, so do we have an equitable tax structure? Do we have enough resources to address inequities within the state of Michigan? And can we really pay for the priorities to help make our state a better place to be?
Yeah. When we think of the issues that you were just talking about and the framework you were just talking about, I always just come to the quick conclusion that we're getting it wrong in Michigan. We're getting it wrong on so many of those fronts. Let's start with our children and your Kids Count work. We underinvest in children in such a profound way in this state, and I don't ever think that, again, that your average citizen really understands how differently other states are now thinking about this and how they're kind of lapping us in terms of getting ahead.
Right. There's so many states that are, you said it perfectly, lapping us, doing better than Michigan. You know, our state budget is a demonstration of what we value and prioritize, and we know we need to invest better in kids. So we're looking at things this year, increased investment in early on, so it's a program for young children with developmental disabilities. We're talking about how can we improve state funding for the school system, so can we look at something down the road as a weighted school funding formula? Can we do more to address healthcare access for young people, behavioral health issues, concerns both from mental health and substance use disorders? So there's so much more that we couldn't be doing. And the governor's budget actually really did have some strong investments in those areas.
Yeah. Let's talk about the budget and the things that stood out to you. There were a lot of things that stood out to me about advancing the ball, right? Not just saying, let's keep pace with this, but let's invest in the future and make something stronger.
Right. So the pandemic really shed a light on inequities, whether it's for childcare issues. So this past year, we invested $1.4 billion. That's something that we've been working on at the League for the last 10 years on how to improve access to childcare. We've seen all kinds of issues come to the forefront: housing, infrastructure, school issues, childcare. And so this is an opportunity for us to do better than we've ever done before, both with our ARPA funding, so those large federal investments, as well as our ongoing state budget. We have a huge surplus right now in the state, so we want to use this as an opportunity to make some fundamental transformational change for people that have been historically left out.
Yeah. Immigration and SNAP, those are other big issues for MLPP.
Yeah. Yeah, immigration is one of our big priorities. And one of the things that we're really looking at right now, a couple things, it's important. We've just released some data sets around the role that immigrants play in our community. We have 11% of business owners are immigrants, so they're a major contributor to our economy. We're talking about $8 billion in taxes, spending power of $20.3 billion. One of the things that we're looking at is something called IKEA. It's for children who are here in the United States. in Michigan, we have the option, so these are for young children, to be able to expand their access to healthcare coverage. So to lift that mandatory waiting period of 5 years, these are typically for people who have green cards. Because we know young people need healthcare. We all do. And so we should make sure that young people are getting their health issues addressed early. And that's one way that the state could do that, is to expand that IKEA option.
Yeah. When we think of the kind of vulnerable populations that you're advocating for here in Michigan, I feel often like there aren't enough voices in the legislature who are taking those up, and that's not just because there's a Republican majority. I think it's also because children in particular, but other vulnerable populations don't find agency in our politics right now. And that's a really difficult conversation to have, but it's also a difficult thing to try to figure out how to fix.
Right. So one of the things that I don't think everybody's really aware of that we do at the League is we have a really strong community engagement team. We're hoping to make this stronger and expand it. But we have staff based in Detroit, based in Grand Rapids. We do some very intensive work in Flint. We do some things in Battle Creek, and then statewide. And what we do is focus on local grassroots community leaders, grassroots coalition groups, on how to make the legislative process more accessible and understandable. So how do you understand that state budget? Because most of your local dollars come from either the feds or the state. How can you talk to a legislature? Where do you start? How do you talk about communication? And it's really focused on shifting some of those power balances so people really have a true voice in shaping public policy.
Yeah. So what about up here at the Mackinac Conference? Do you find enough of your issues in the agenda, in the speakers, in the discussions?
Right. So one of the big things that we're here talking about this week is the earned income tax credit. Mm-hmm. This is the only bipartisan tax proposal that's on the table. We have a widespread coalition of supporters. Senator Schmidt has proposed increasing it from the 6% to the 30%. Mm-hmm. The governor's budget had it increasing from 6% to 20%. We're really encouraging and pushing for that 30%. And the EITC focuses, it's a tax credit for working families. These are lower income families that are struggling to make it. On average, they get $750. And that money goes back directly to our economy. And it's used for things like transportation, childcare, groceries, housing repair, things that really sometimes prevent people from fully engaging in the workforce. Yeah. And that's been a big topic this week.
And, it's a good opportunity to also kind of highlight that Republicans and Democrats generally agree on this. I mean, they don't agree on the specifics, but they both agree that this is a good way to help to help poor families.
Right.
We don't have that agreement on everything.
On lots of things.
Lots of things. But we do have it there. I also wonder what you make of the debate about taxes in our state. Republicans seem to think, look, this is the time to give a tax cut to people. Because we've got extra revenue, and Democrats are saying, well, maybe, but maybe it should be more of a rebate or a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. Targeting those so that they affect the people who need it the most is one of the challenges. The EITC is one way, but there are some other things that we could be doing tax policy-wise that would help struggling families.
Right, so EITC is our primary focus in the tax credit that we're advocating for. I think right now we need to really understand that some of this surplus is likely just a one-time, short-term surplus.
It's not going to be there forever.
Right, so we do not want to be banking on a tax cut that's really going to be, maybe $50, maybe $100 for the average citizen in Michigan, the average person in Michigan. We don't want to devastate our state. We know we need infrastructure. We need to work on our roads. We need to invest better in schools. We need to invest in behavioral health and healthcare. And so we want to use this surplus as an opportunity to make fundamental change within our state rather than something that's not really going to affect the pocketbooks of most people that are struggling.
Yeah. What about the ARPA funds that are flooding into, state coffers and city coffers? Again, that's one-time money,
right?
But it's a lot of money,
right?
And it's more money than we are likely to see again, I think, in any state. How should we be thinking of those things that could make a difference, a long-term difference for struggling families?
Right. So when we look at ARPA, we have about $2.7 billion-ish, roughly, still that needs to be allocated. This is the opportunity for us to make transformational change in Michigan. So I'll talk a little bit about the supplemental bills, great examples of good things that are happening. We saw an investment in housing. We saw an investment in broadband. Broadband is an issue, especially in our rural communities. You need it to access work. You need it to access health care if you're using telehealth, your health record. And it's important for these communities to be able to be brought along. And we saw some really great progress out of that. And we're hoping to see some good investment with the $2.7 billion. So hopefully more in housing, more workforce development types of issues, healthcare are all some of our priorities.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Monique Stanton. She's president and CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy. We're talking in the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island during the Detroit Regional Chamber's annual Mackinac Public Policy Conference. Monique, I want to talk about the pandemic and what we've learned about poverty and opportunity. Things that we probably should have known before, mm-hmm. and some of us were aware of, but I think that have become much more stark because of the pandemic and how we pivot to address those things to make the consequences of something like that less devastating on the most vulnerable.
Right. So during the pandemic, we really relied on workers that were low-income workers in very vulnerable positions. So workers in your grocery stores, they were doing essential work. They had to go to work in order for the world to continue functioning. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that we owe these workers a way to help continue to improve their lives. So you're seeing some boosts in wages, which I think is important. It's still not enough to really sustain a family. So things like the Future for Frontliners program, which is job training, to help people develop a better career path are some really important ways that we can help lift people out of poverty. And then for families that were in poverty, maybe they didn't have an essential job that they could go to, or they were legitimately very scared to be out in public because of the devastating effects of COVID, they were left out. They really struggled. There was, you know, concerns about, are there going to be boosts in eviction, concerns about water shutoffs, utility shutoffs, all of that was very significant for those populations.
Yeah. So are you seeing a response that suggests that we've learned from these circumstances, or are we going to experience the same thing again if something else similar happens?
So I'm an eternal optimist, so I think you've got to be an optimist to do this work. So I do think that we have learned, but we still have more learning to do. I don't think it's been enough. Some of these issues, when we talk specifically, I think, about childcare, mm-hmm. that's been pushed to the forefront. You have businesses now talking about childcare. You know, I've been talking about childcare for 15 years in my career. It's essential for high-quality childcare if we want people to be able to be fully engaged in the workforce. And so you're seeing some shifts in things that in conversations that I think will continue. Now, we talk about, going back to the question about some of our lower wage workers, those essential workers, childcare workers, direct care workers.
Yeah.
Oftentimes this work is phrased as unskilled labor. Mm-hmm. But if you're a home care worker taking care of somebody that's a senior or a developmental disability, if you're a childcare worker, that is highly skilled.
Unskilled.
It's not unskilled. And we need to pay these people more.
Yeah.
That's why we have shortages in those areas.
Yeah. Let's talk more about education and equity in education in particular. A few years ago, we had a report that told us what we needed to do to make the playing fields more level for education, for school districts in our state. We haven't made a lot of progress on that. I wonder what role your advocacy is playing in that conversation.
So a big part of what we do is around kids count. So looking at the health, well-being, educational outcomes of kids. We're starting to take a look at our kids successfully going from their teen years up through the age of 25. We historically only looked at the well-being of kids under 18. And then in terms of our budget work, some of it does come down to resources, and so how can we shape and shift our tax policy structure to make sure that we're addressing inequitable outcomes? And so something over the next year we're going to be taking a more in-depth look at is, can we implement a weighted school funding formula to help improve and address some of those inequities?
And that weighted school formula is key. There are states that are using that to incredible effect. Massachusetts, of course, is I think the outlier there. When you say that, though, in Lansing, I still get very strange looks back.
Right.
I mean, people are just not ready for that kind of thinking.
Right. So I think public policy change is definitely a long game. So it's something that we, over the next year, we're really looking at what's the right weight and looking at data and research to make sure that we're making a good informed decision. And we know it's something that's going to take a lot of advocacy, a lot of education, community partners, coalition partners working together to get something implemented. So it's not something that we necessarily think is going to happen overnight, though we would love it. We know that we're going to be needing to work on it. And hopefully it doesn't take us as long as 10 years like it did with childcare. We still need more money for childcare, but it's a good investment. We want to make sure that we're starting that work now because we know it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Okay. Monique Stanton, President and CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy. Always great to see you.
Great. Thanks, Stephen.
And, of course, thanks for being here on Detroit Today.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will, too. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.